Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
South African artist, DJ, producer, and remixer Dawson stands tall among the most progressive artists shaping the future of Deep House. This two-time DMASA award-winning, SAMA-nominated artist continues to shift global perception of South African electronic music. With over 30 million streams across all platforms, he's one of the most streamed Deep House artists in the country. A favorite on the South African festival circuit, with appearances at Milk and Cookies Fest, CTEMF, Rocking the Daisies, Ultra South Africa, Opikopi, and Red Bull Music Festival. Across the continent, he's taken his sound to Mozambique, Kenya, Namibia, Zambia, and expanded into Dubai. Dawson's catalogue reflects depth and evolution. After his breakout Luna EP in 2017 won Best Underground Record at the DMASA, he released a string of acclaimed projects including Impulsive, Say Less, Nova, Summer Days, and the Berlin-inspired Bermuda EP. His 2019 collaboration with Platoon, Nobody Else, featuring CEO, has hit over 3 million Spotify streams and is certified gold. While the now platinum Forbidden has become a defining anthem of South African Deep House. Other notable releases include Glimpses of You, an EP from 2019, and the New Day single in 2025. In 2015, Dawson founded Dope Room, which is more than a night out. It's a social movement pushing South Africa's electronic music scene forward. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Dawson.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am fantastic. I'm currently at home. It's been a busy few weeks. I've been traveling, just came back from Amsterdam. I just got back from Johannesburg as well. I played Kunye, amazing shows in Amsterdam and Johannesburg. And we just finished my Cape Town show of Dope Room as well, which is quite amazing. So I feel like it's festive already, but I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. All good. All good. Thank you. So you're based in Cape Town?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, lovely. How and where did the stage name Dawson come from and the spelling specifically?
I don't know. I just always resonated with the word Dawson, with the name Dawson. And I kept seeing it. And then I remember that there was a time during my high school career where I was deciding, like, should I go under a moniker or should I just rock with my government name, which is not the coolest. It's not iconic. I just looked up the meaning of the word Dawson, and there was quite a few meanings, you know. And so with, like, everyone's names, you know, but the one that stuck with me the most was to influence people and be a powerful force. And, you know, I feel like it's just such a fitting character, you know, just with what I do. Being a producer and DJ, I feel like so many people get to be inspired and be influenced by what we're doing if we're doing it in a good way. So I just thought I'd just live up to the name Dawson. The spelling was quite a tricky one because there's quite a few artists with the same name. And I remember when I was signed to a label called Just Move Records, I signed music under them, and the label boss was like, "Look, we're gonna have to do something about your name because we don't want to confuse the listeners, because there's quite a few people releasing different kind of music under the same name." So it's like, okay, cool. We threw a bunch of ideas around and I was like, let's just remove the A. Mm-hmm. Let's just remove the A. It looks cool. And it was kind of inspired by the artist who was signed to OBO called Division. And he also has this cool way of spelling it without the vowels, you know. So I was like, okay, cool, let's rock with it. It looks cool. And yeah, and I've been rocking the name Dawson without the A for quite a few years.
Okay, so now let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, yes, I want to be in this music, producing, creating world? And how did that journey progress?
So I've always been an entertainer. I was actually a dancer before I started making music and playing music. So I feel like music has just always been a big part of me. Growing up with just being surrounded by a lot of good jazz music. My father is a big muso, so he loves soulful house. He loves soulful music, jazz, and they kept playing like good music around me. So I feel like it's just been instilled from me from a young age. But I think I made the decision during, I'd say, during my high school career. I was like, look, I've been DJing. So I started DJing before I produced. So I was playing mobile gigs from like grade 8 until after high school. And then it slowly progressed to the clubs, you know. I started off with lounges, from the mobile gigs to the lounges, from the lounges to the clubs. So I definitely decided during my high school career that I wanted to do music and be a producer and a DJ for life and an artist. So yeah, definitely during my high school career. So I'd say about 16, that was when I decided this is my calling.
So actually deciding it and then doing it, were there any aspects of the doing it professionally and being in the space that surprised you that you didn't think would be part of the process that is actually now part of the process?
I think the biggest one is definitely marketing. Like, I didn't know, like, you'd spend so much time just trying to market yourself, market your music. And, you know, I thought it's just about doing what you got to do and, like, just letting the music talk and, you know, just the DJing talk. But at the same time, you have to, being an artist, you know, and doing this fully, you need to invest the time in putting yourself out there. It's not just about putting one big song out and expecting everything to happen for you from there. It's a mixture of that, but like mostly marketing. You need to put yourself out there. You need to connect with the scene and the industry that you want to be a part of. You need to network as much as you can. Your network is your net worth. So make sure you're out there just meeting the right people and just placing yourself in positions that would benefit your career. So network has been also another big thing.
It's very important just to pitch up and say yes. So when opportunities come, even if it's a coffee or a potential gig that you think is small in inverted commas, which there isn't a small gig, it's about saying yes, thank you, and pitching up.
So I started this movement called Dope Room, which started in my hometown, which was Kensington. Yeah, I just introduced a lot of people to what we were doing. And then I noticed like the right people started coming, promoters that had big events running, you know. So like you were saying, it's literally about just putting yourself out there and not waiting for anything, you know, just creating something and letting it blossom, you know, planting the seed and watching the tree grow. So yeah, I could definitely say that for any artist that's listening, you know, just make sure that you don't wait for opportunities. You go out there and you take it from there, just make things happen. And also just if you're having like one conversation, make sure it leads on to something else, you know. Make sure that you are able to offer something that whether the promoter or anyone that you're meeting up with could potentially collab with you on, whether it's an idea, a song, or anything from that. You know, just make sure that you move forward, you know, and make steps on after that.
You referenced the Dope Room. Is that still happening?
Yes, so that's my event that's been running for 10 years.
Okay.
We celebrated our 10th birthday this year, May. We did a massive event at the Castle of Good Hope, which was one for the books. We had a cool production going, some nice DJs on the bill, producers, local producers. Yeah, people showed up in numbers and we had such a good time, you know, just spreading the music, spreading the culture and celebrating each other and music.
And so is it an annual event?
So it happens bi-monthly. This year we decided to change the strategy up a bit. So we've been pacing them out, making sure that we host every 3 or 4 months. With that, we were able to like push the production and have bigger spaces for us to gather. And it's been good. We've been doing some regional work as well. We did Joburg recently. So we did 3 events in Joburg. So we slowly, you know, just branching and moving nationally. And hopefully next year we get to do more of that and do international installments of the Dope Room as well.
So now let's go into your creativity of your original music and your original tracks. How do you create a song?
I feel like each song has a different workflow. When I'm in the studio, there's not like, I don't have like a template with the way I work. So most of the time it's based on just how I'm feeling. I feel like with music, it's a way of us, you know, just being able to express what we're feeling at the moment, you know. And I feel like the biggest songs come from just you experimenting and just allowing to just flow, you know, with the session. So whether I'm working on a collab or it's just myself, I feel like each project or each song starts off differently, you know. But I like to go with like what my gut feeling is telling me and just make whatever I'm feeling at that moment. And I think that's where the magic lies. And that's why some of my songs have touched, you know, so many people across the globe. It's always changing.
You referenced a little while ago about being in the flow of the energy and just letting it flow and going with your gut. Is that something that you've always had or gone with? Or did it take you a while to understand what your gut was saying and understand to let it flow?
I mean, when I was younger, I wasn't too sure what this feeling was and what this gut feeling was, you know. And I later on came to find out that it's all about just manifestation, you know. And I've realized that I kept hearing it from bigger artists and successful people. And I was like, okay, this is what I've been feeling. You know, this is exactly what I've been feeling all these years. I just couldn't find a word for it. I wouldn't say my whole life I've been, you know, just going with my gut feeling. I just feel like with this career, you know, the bigger I've built a brand, I've realized that, you know, this manifestation thing is real, and whatever I've been putting out there and working towards, was able to achieve, you know, so far. We had small goals, big goals. Amsterdam was one of it for me. That was one of my goals that I manifested. It was one of the goals I manifested in 2022, but then I got to achieve it in 2025. You know, it was denied, not delayed. Delayed, not denied, sorry. I'm a firm believer with manifestation. I can't say that I had that feeling all my life, but the more I learned to understand it, the more I went with it.
You referenced delayed, not denied. So when it was supposed to happen in 2022, and then it happened now 3 years later, are there ever times where there's frustration that kicks in with you that is like, oh, it was supposed to happen now, and that, oh, that angst and that frustration and that impatience?
Yeah.
Or are you so busy that it's like, okay, well, let me just focus on the next thing and see how that goes?
I think I have a fine balance of, you know, just accepting whatever happens or whatever doesn't happen at the time that I want. You know, I feel like there's a bigger reason why certain things don't happen at a certain time. And whenever I have goals planned for myself and I don't achieve it at the time that I want, later on I understand why it didn't happen for me earlier. Sometimes you're not equipped with the tools, you know, just yet. I feel like over the last 3 years, I've built a brand even bigger. I was able to just have something to showcase for these 3 years that I've manifested me going to Amsterdam. You know, I've built my catalog in terms of my music. I was able to network a lot better. And I feel like back then I probably wouldn't have been ready for all of the things. And I probably wouldn't have found the Global Pass initiative that I'm a part of now, you know, and they've actually helped, you know, just make sure that this whole experience has been fruitful and paradise as well. It would have probably been a whole different experience back then. And I was with such a lovely bunch. You know, this is just like a one example of manifesting something and not getting it at the certain time and achieving it later. Or I wouldn't have wanted to experience this at the earlier time, because the people that I've experienced this milestone with and witnessed and got to experience, you know, with this journey, I can't really put it into words, but like, I just can't, you can't put a price to it, you know? And I definitely think there's a bigger reason for certain things not happening at a certain time and, you know, achieving it at God's timing and divine timing.
You referenced you or your creativity or your name being a brand. a lot of people who are fans of artists don't realize that an artist is a brand because they just see, oh, there's so-and-so. But artists are now a brand because it's about promoting your marketing, all that kind of stuff, as you mentioned before. Let's put it this way. For any listener who doesn't understand why an artist is a brand, what would you say to them?
Everything that an artist is about has some kind of linkage to one another. You know, the way you present yourself online says a lot about the kind of artist you are, you know, and what kind of music you put out. Many hats that an artist has to wear, and to have a strong brand, there's so much connected to it. And when you tick all these boxes off that an artist needs, I feel like the support is just a whole lot stronger, and you have longevity when it comes to your fan base. You know, all of that is interlinked with one another. This is something that I mentioned over and over. You can be so good at the music thing and put out amazing music, but like if you don't tick off all the other boxes as an artist, I don't think you will have such a strong appeal to a target audience that you want to appeal to. Yeah, it's very important to make sure that you present yourself in a certain way. Your music sounds a certain way. You look a certain way. And that's how you just grow a stronger fan base and, you know, just stand out from the rest as well.
And, but it's also when you present yourself as your brand, as the way that you reference, it's also about being authentic and not about what the record labels want or what the filters are doing or what social media is doing. You are the authentic self, and then you take note of those various aspects as you move forward.
Yes. Absolutely. I fully agree. And my career has been built off, you know, just being authentic and just to create something out of whatever flows in you, you know. And eventually, like with my sound, I mean, I that's something that I didn't really plan. It's such an identifiable sound now because it's me, you know, or listening. So when you want to sound like someone else, you'll never be exactly like that person. You'll always have something unique because it's you that's presenting it. But yeah, I firmly believe in just being organic and being yourself. And you definitely tend to have a stronger love and appreciation when you're doing things organically and, you know, and doing it with its like truest form and essence. Because people feel that, you know, people feel more attached to things that are more organic, you know, whether it's you meeting someone, if someone has a facade or they have this chip on their shoulder, like 9 times out of 10, you're not really going to enjoy the person. If they're organic and they're real and they give you exactly who they are, and I can guarantee you it'll be the best person that you'll meet, you know, just because they allow themselves to be organic and natural, you know, and comfortable. That's my view.
You have played, as you mentioned, lounges, clubs, events such as Amsterdam festivals. You bring the same energy, you bring the same intention to all those different venues or different iterations. What are the differences for you at performing at those different types of venues?
I think with each space, there's a different kind of energy. And with each slot time or set time, there's a different job that a DJ has to tend to or deliver. Yeah, I think with my sets personally, I take all those things into consideration, whether it's time, whether it's the space I'm playing in, city. Whatever I play, it has to be something that I like. So whether it's Afro House, whether it's Deep House, whether it's, you know, any subgenre within house, I'm still showcasing me. You know, it's something that I love. I think with each space, I definitely play differently. I feel like bigger spaces require a lot more energy, you know, depending again on the time that you need to play. So, I mean, it's like you can't really play like slow jazz music at like, you know, 11 to 12 at the massive like R&B festival or house music festival. You know, you need to cater for the people that's attending, and you need to read the room. You need to read the energy of the crowd and make sure that you give them the best performance, you know, but still having DJ etiquette. And I've seen this so many times over the past couple of years that I've been playing. But some DJs tend to play massive sets before a headliner and that, and I feel like that's just not DJ etiquette. And it's okay for like the ones that don't really get it, but for anyone that's starting out, you know, I feel like they just need to make sure that they know their DJ etiquette and know the rules and not be selfish in those moments, but at the same time still have a great time and represent you. Yeah, just put your best foot forward when it comes to sets, and no matter what space you're in, yeah, just make sure you do your best.
You referenced earlier about reading the room and reading the energy. Is this something that has come naturally to you over from the beginning, or you've had to learn to develop it over time?
I mean, before I started playing, I was a bit of a consumer, you know, like when I went to events, I would just see what's happening and see what the DJ is playing and see what it's doing to the room. And I think that gave me the upper hand, because I was able to know what is required at the early age. So when I was ready for the real world, because I started playing, like I mentioned, I started playing mobile gigs, and then from there to the lounges. So already I was aware of what to play. So when I started playing at the lounges, I knew exactly what kind of setting I'm in and what kind of music is required for those spaces. I would say that I've learned from just being out there and being exposed. Didn't always have it all figured out, but like I mentioned, it just gave me the upper hand, just being a part of the scene early and, you know, just doing my homework. Yeah, I'd definitely say there was a lot of homework involved from my early DJ and producer career.
I know it's all very secretive in your world, but what can you tell us that is going to be happening over the next period of time?
I'm in the process of releasing my album. It's titled Nothing to Lose, and it's a pretty bold project. We've got a house music with like the urgency of R&B vocals. So it's something that I've always wanted to do. You know, people are familiar with like my vocal house stuff, but I've never put out a project with just vocals. And it's a 14-track album. I might just extend it with like a bonus track or two. But it will be available on the 6th of Feb next year. I think it's a month of love, so it's the perfect time to drop a project like the one I'm dropping. So, and we've got some cool things lined up for next year. We're taking Dope Room to Namibia as well as Kenya. Yeah, we've got some cool things planned. But yeah, cats out the bag. I'm dropping the album the 6th of Feb.
And I'm excited that you're releasing an album, because these days people focus on the singles or focus on the EPs. So I'm excited to hear and see and experience a full body of work that is of an album space. So I'm looking forward to that. I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, in 20 minutes, or in 50 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time. I'm not saying favorites. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five other artists once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be?
Okay. Party Next Door, Drake, myself, because I'm a fan of myself.
Of course it is.
I listen to like quite a lot of other genres, not just house music. So I'd say Low Shimmy is up there, and then R&B as well. I'm actually enjoying... can't get his name. It's one of those new artists that I found on Spotify. I'm so bad with like getting the names off the bat, because there's so much music like being dropped every single week. I at least have four off the bat.
That's fine. Dawson, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I would like to leave the listeners off with just whatever you have planned for yourself, whatever your gut feeling is telling you to achieve, go for it. Don't procrastinate. Go get it. You know, we spend so much time just chilling and putting our feet up on the couch. And, you know, there's so many ideas that we have for ourselves. But I feel like we just need to take that first step. Whether it's if you want to be a vocalist, like go sign up to a musical school, you know, make that reach tomorrow. If you want to be a DJ, get yourself some small equipment to practice on. You know, there's also no time frame for whatever you want to achieve, whether you're 40 and you're listening, whether you're 50 or older. Like, do whatever you want to do. You have one life, and, you know, just achieve whatever your heart desires. Treat everyone around you with respect and love and kindness, and just continue to show love, even in a world where there's a lot of hate and a lot of negative things happening around you. Just don't let it change you. Don't let it change you from being a hero to a villain. And yes, just keep God at the center of everything that you do, always. And manifest. Go get whatever is yours.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.